Need a recap of Sunday's readings? It's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight is from the good deacon, Scott Aiken, from St. Joseph Parish in Vancouver.
Today's gospel really confronts the potential for violence that sits just on the edge of every human heart when the boundaries of comfort and convention are challenged. It is a profound statement of the conversion that full response to the gospel requires. What does it mean to be converted to the good news that Christ is bringing? And we hear that today. And for some, it isn't heard as good news. Last week, we heard Luke describe what Jesus did in the synagogue in Nazareth. And we heard that he unrolled the scroll and he read from the passage that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. It's a beautiful passage and one that I think for me really engages my mind into what if I was sitting like you are looking at Jesus read these words. And then he rolls up the scroll and hands it back to the attendant and sits down. And the Gospel of Luke says that the eyes of all of the synagogue looked intently down at him. And then he says the ultimate drop the mic statement, as my kids would say. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And you may have thought to yourself, well, what happened then? I remember as a kid when I would hear this gospel, something about it feels so good to hear him say that. This is fulfilled in your hearing. And then it ends, and you're left on that high note. Well, we hear what happened in today's reading. What happened at the end? What started out for me and maybe for you too is that Jesus is revealing himself as the Messiah. That's exciting and cool. And I have this moment, like I said, of putting myself in a position of being there in my mind. But then we are tempted in today's reading to realizing, though, just like those who were there in the synagogue came to realize, what does it mean to me? Really? What does that moment and what he says mean to me? All spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And then when they finally came back from the ecstasy of hearing Jesus speak authentically, it strikes them, isn't this Joseph's kid? And then they begin to question and to test him. And when he refuses to do what they ask, they become increasingly agitated. Agitated to the point where they want to kill him. As I said in my opening, today's gospel confronts the potential for violence that lies in every human heart when the boundaries of comfort, of consistency, of what we think is right and others must be wrong. When we're put in that position, how often will we resort to a violent or an angry response? The story of Jesus preaching and rejection at Nazareth is found in each one of the synoptic gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And you might remember, we've talked before about what is a synoptic gospel. It means that each one of them speaks of this incident. So this has some of the greatest veracity in the Bible as happening, just as they said it happened. But Luke goes further in describing it, more than the other two. And that's what we hear today, telling us what we hear, that he goes further and speaks of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue. And in Luke's gospel, the people are surprised, but not immediately offended by Jesus' words in the synagogue. It is in the words that follow his reading from the prophet Isaiah that seem to offend them. His commentary, when he starts challenging, what did you do when the prophets came? What did you expect when those prophets came? How did you respond as the people of God, the Israelites? How did you respond to that? And they were provoked. They were challenged, the people of Nazareth. He also challenges them on the message that a prophet, in a way that is different from their ancestors, this call for new response He's challenging them to a new response than even that. In our second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul speaks of love, of what love is, and it is one that many use in their weddings. Maybe you used it if you're married here in your own wedding. I've done many marriages as a deacon, and this passage that is read out of 1 Corinthians is one that I loved to hear because it is so appropriate in a wedding, and yet it is so utterly prophetic. Prophetic because this litany of what love requires and is a list that we all fall short of at times in our lives. But it is beautifully summed up as something ultimately amazing. That's why we have marriages. That's why people come to a marriage and sit and watch the couple do what they do, because it is so amazing that two people can commit themselves to one another when we have the gravity of understanding. What does it mean, till death do us part? What does love do in the world, basically? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So where is the love of Jesus in his community for him? Jesus' community, Nazareth, I recently learned this, was thought to be just a small blip on the map, maybe 2 acres in size. So everyone knew everyone, and they most likely knew Jesus almost as family as he grew up. If you're from a small town like me, you may relate to that. The neighbor's mom and dad feeds you, even though they don't call and ask, does he need to be fed? No, they just know. They just take him in. Oh, his family's coming over here again. Let's feed him. Let's take care of him. Let's love him. So he grew up in this kind of community. And when he speaks these truths in the synagogue today, it cuts to their hearts. And instead of continued wonder, they turn to violence against one of their community members. And as the gospel, and the gospel doesn't say just that they turned him out of the community. I've been turned out of a friend's house when we stayed there too long. Said, go home, right? No, they don't just turn him out. No, they want to throw him off a clifftop. Wow. But he just walks through the crowd and evades their wrath, it says. The animosity of the people of Nazareth prefigures and prepares the readers, you and I, for the cross. That's what it's preparing us for. That's what Luke is trying to focus our attention toward. The ones that we think would love us the most may reject us for what we do as Christians. Luke wants all to understand that it is through his death on the cross that Jesus offers God's salvation for all. We are heading toward that passion, death, and resurrection, which we will celebrate in Lent and the Easter season in just a few weeks. How do you view the world today, given all that we have been through? Pandemic, economic crisis, the war that potentially is brewing that we constantly see in the news. How are you taking all of that? Do we approach it with love? With love that hopes all things, that endures all things? Or are you feeling angry, resentful, ready to throw someone or something off the proverbial cliff? Christ wants you to lean on him and to trust the prophetic example of the gospel in our lives, that he has come to free us, to be fully children of God, to a world that desperately needs us to love. I get that. I almost get uptight, upset telling you that, because I'm hearing myself tell myself that. But we're called to love, not respond with anger and resentment and throw somebody off a cliff, even if they grate against us. For as St. Paul says today, we know partially and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. Well, the perfect has come. The perfect has come in Christ Jesus. It is up to you and me to come to this altar ready to receive the fullness of that meaning, which will challenge us and at times make us uncomfortable and maybe even angry. But we must come back from those emotions through prayer, through the sacraments, confession, to a place that hopes again, that endures again, that ultimately will not fail on our journey to salvation. That's why we are here today. That's why we are Christians. That is why we must work daily to give ourselves over to God's love so we can love each other, regardless of how much it may be a struggle to do so. St. Faustina's simple prayer, which we have next to our tabernacle over here, is the prayer that we should reach for when we're struggling. Jesus, I trust in you.
And that is today's homily highlight from Deacon Scott Aiken, St. Joseph's Church in Vancouver. If you want to listen to that again, well, that homily is going to be made into a podcast that you're going to be able to find on the Hail Mary Media app or on our webpage at materdeiradio.com.